On today's episode of 23 is the Mic, we recap the Cubs' impressive opening week. The NFL is going rampant right now, so there's a lot of news and notes to get into there. And we have another interesting top five at the end of the show. So let's get into it. Welcome into the show, everybody. My name is Nadim. You can catch me on Instagram at NadimN22 and on Twitter at TheDreamN22. It's 23 is the Mic. It is the second week of the revamp. Glad to have you with us. Hope you and your loved ones are all doing well, staying safe and healthy. In a precarious time like this, we have some good news, especially for the Chicagoland area. The famous and critically acclaimed chicken, Nashville Hot Chicken Halal franchise in LA is coming to Chicago. It was reported this week that they are planning on having 10 locations opened up in the Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana area. That is some exciting news for a trying time. On today's episode, as mentioned earlier, we will do a bunch of Cubs stuff, NBA stuff, lots of NFL news to get into. And at the end of the show, we have top five where we talk about snacks, a snack tier, road trip snacks, the best snacks. We'll have a couple of my brothers on to discuss that aspect. And why we're talking about that is I just went through a 14-hour road trip from New York City, and we actually brought like this giant box of snacks cluttered with so many different things, chips, cookies, you name it. And on the way there, I rented a Jeep Wrangler, and it was the smoothest drive. For everyone that had said after that I rented it, like my close family and friends, they said that it wasn't a smooth ride, it was a really bumpy ride, and also that it was a gas guzzler, and it wasn't that bad at all, and it was just it was such a vibe. It's such a summer car, and I'm thinking of actually maybe getting into it. I'm a Jeep Wrangler guy now after 2 days of driving it. So we'll start today's episode with news and notes. It was reported last week that Mike Tyson, at the age of 54, the famous boxing champion, cultural icon, is stepping back into the ring for the first time in 15 years to fight 51-year-old Roy Jones Jr., who recently retired in February of 2018. This is a huge headline for the sport of boxing, for fighting in general. Fighting is one of the main sport entities that we've had during COVID. And the UFC Fight Island, for example, hasn't really performed up to what everyone expected the cards to look like, especially at the last pay-per-view headlined by Usman and Jorge Masvidal. That really didn't step up to what everyone thought that it would be. The expectation was really high. The card was pretty stacked, but the fights just didn't do it. Here you have a former champion and a cultural icon. I mean, this is probably the biggest boxing match outside of the normal, you know, heavyweight division or fighting for a championship since Mayweather McGregor. And that obviously drew a lot of eyes. This, in boxing in general, a lot of eyes are being drawn to it now easily because of COVID. TV ratings are up for all sports. So this will be interesting to see. At their age, it's kind of dangerous, I would say, due to the compromised immune systems that both have, also due to the virus. So it'll be interesting to see how they train and how they perform. But this fight is scheduled for September 12th. It's going to be on pay-per-view for $50. Also streaming on Triller, which is like a rival TikTok app. Interesting to speaking of TikTok, the undercard is featuring the famous majorly disliked YouTuber Jake Paul taking on Nate Robinson, who is a former NBA point guard. He is notorious for his time with the Knicks and Bulls. He's a slam dunk champion. This will be really interesting to see as well. The beef here is somewhat over dramatized, if I do say so myself, because we've seen over the years like Jake Paul's older brother, like Logan Paul, fighting KSI, and you have the other two YouTube fights like the Fousey 2 fight and those boys, that kind of thing. Adam Saleh did a thing with Amir Khan, the boxer, where they did it for charity. So you have all these kind of entertainers that are trying to get into the boxing ring and either raise money, raise awareness, get eyes. It's pretty much for the entertainment value more than anything serious. But to see Tyson, I mean, he looked good. He had like a recent promo with Chris Jericho in the wrestling ring. So he looked like he was back in shape. You've seen videos of him. He looks like a beast right now. And he's taking on an also older man, Roy Jones Jr. So it'll be interesting to see the training patterns that they've had for it. They've been urged by former champion George Foreman, who's obviously famous for his fights with Muhammad Ali, to not do this because of the danger. So it'll be interesting to see if this actually takes place. But also, it's going to be a crazy watch. The TV rating or the pay-per-view ratings on this will be insane. The eyes, the views on this are going to be pretty dramatic, due to the fact that not only it's Mike Tyson coming back to the ring, but also the fact that COVID, so everyone's still at home. Other news that happened this week, Jamal Adams was traded by the Jets to the Seahawks. Now, at the start of this, when it first happened and was first reported, I thought that the Seahawks might have won this trade, but then looking at the haul that they gave up two future first-round picks and a third-rounder, and they got back Jamal Adams in a fourth-rounder. So, the thing here is Jamal Adams, he's a top-tier safety. He's one of the best defensive players in the games, no doubt. But the safety position has been so volatile over the years. There hasn't been one standout safety since Earl Thomas, since Ed Reed, that has really reached the level of greatness and has maintained that level of greatness over time. So, this huge haul to get Jamal Adams into Seattle, it really depends on, one, his consistency, how healthy he's able to stay. But also, like this year, the opt-outs have been rampant. Players have been opting out since, I would say, Sunday. And the list just, it goes from New England. They have six players that opted out on Tuesday. You have Damien Williams here. You have offensive linemen that are feeling immunocompromised. You have the Buffalo Bills star defensive players. And the Buffalo Bills are looked at as a team that might take the AFC East this year. So when you have all these players that are opting out, how is that going to affect the league? And in my opinion, that's going to affect it drastically. Are we even going to have a league to play in? Because on the flip side of things, in the MLB, there were 17 players and coaches of the Florida, or not the Florida, the Miami Marlins that tested positive for COVID after their first opening series in Atlanta. And they had to cancel the Phillies games because the Marlins were there. They had to cancel the Yankees games. They are in that East Coast because it's now division-wise, right? It's like the East play the East, the Central plays the Central, the West plays the West. So are we going to cancel the season? Are we even going to be able to finish the season? And that's, you know, a giant question mark. I'm hoping that we end up getting through these seasons because we're already basically 10% of the way there. And with the NFL, obviously it's a more contact, higher physicality sport where there is more interaction between the players. I mean, in baseball, you're spread out and already you have 17 players on one team that got it. So we'll see what happens with the NFL. We'll keep you posted on that. Speaking of the NFL, I don't think anybody's having a better 2020 than star quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. It was just announced yesterday that Patrick Mahomes is also partaking in ownership of the Kansas City Royals. This man got paid $500 million over the offseason. He won a Super Bowl this year, and now he is owner of a baseball team. What a year for Patrick Mahomes. He is the star quarterback. He has all the potential in the world. I don't think in NFL history there has been a better start to a career than this man has had. He has all the tools, all the weapons in Kansas City. But he himself has the arm talent, the mental toughness, the quarterback IQ. He's got everything it takes. Now it's just about performing. And it's about staying healthy at the same time. So maybe it's a good year to opt out due to the fact that this year might not even happen and you don't want to compromise your health as it is. Speaking of compromised health, Zion Williamson is back in the NBA bubble. He is cleared for practice. And based on the bubble itself that has allowed for teams that aren't in the playoffs right now, but still in the hunt to come back. And one of those featured teams was the New Orleans Pelicans. And there was a lot of speculation that the reason for that was Zion himself. This is a great, great headline for the NBA, for ratings, for everything. Zion Williamson has been a star in the making since college, and in his rookie season, he's performed pretty well. He's averaging 23.6 points per game. He's averaging 6.8 rebounds and 2 assists. So it's not bad. The Pelicans are also 3.5 games out of the 8th spot in the West. They do have somewhat of a tough schedule going forward to start the bubble. They have to play the Jazz at the 4 seed, the Clippers, and then that really, really immensely important game. And for me, it's a make or break for them against the Grizzlies, who currently hold that 8th spot on August 3rd. That'll be the game to watch. I think the Pelicans are a team that can kind of sneak in and make some noise. Hey, anything can happen in this bubble, especially with the lower end teams, the lower market teams. It's kind of like the baseball restart that we talked about last week. 60 games, not much in this. You have a couple games and then the regular season ends and the playoff starts. So outside of the top five, in my opinion, you have the Celtics, the Raptors, and the Bucks out of the East, and I think the West will definitely come down to the Lakers and Clippers. The Clippers have so much depth, and it's really, really crazy that they actually have the harder schedule the rest of the way versus the Lakers. So I think because of that, and the Lou Williams story where he has been suspended due to leaving the bubble on Friday night, and having to miss 2 games and quarantine. I think that's one of the funnier stories because he went to a strip club in Atlanta. I think that the Lakers will have a better chance to get that chemistry going. I don't know if that means that they'll win. Basically, in my opinion, the NBA Finals is going to be decided upon the Lakers versus Clippers Western Conference Finals. I think whoever comes out of that's going to win. And I think the Celtics and the Raptors are the best bets to take down the Bucks, who have just been out of this world this year. They've looked like the best team in the league for pretty much the entire season. And the only reason that we have questions about, you know, them winning the title is purely strategy, their experience. So it'll be really, really interesting to see, because the Bucks would be considered underdogs against either of the LA teams, I would think. And the best chance of them actually overcoming those odds would be just a giant, giant dose of Giannis. And so it comes down to, does a not too experienced coach like Mike Budenholzer have that trust in Giannis to take over games down the stretch? And we'll see. We will see, because I think at the end of the day, it comes down to the Lakers versus the Bucks. The Clippers have all the depth in the world, but LeBron is playing on another level this year. And he probably will win the MVP because, hey, he's up against Kawhi and Paul George and a stacked bench that the Clippers possess against basically AD and LeBron. And it'll be really, really fun to see that race down the stretch. And I think LeBron probably will win MVP. I think, like I said, whoever comes out of the Western Conference between the Lakers and the Clippers are going to win the finals against the Bucks. And as we hope here for a continued season and an actual finality to all our sports seasons, it'll be interesting to see how the NBA shapes out. Hopefully everyone stays safe and away from the virus. And those are our predictions. So now we're going to jump into the Cubs recap. Javi Baez and the Cubs offense has been pretty on fire this last week since the season started. They have scored 8 runs in their last 3 games. They took 2 of 3 against the Brewers. They've won their last 2 against the Reds. Series finale begins in about an hour and a half. But this offense has really come alive, and it's awesome to see them actually hitting with the runners in scoring position. And as Cubs fans, we're so used to the opposite of that happening. The starting pitching has been pretty stellar. Kyle Hendricks had a great outing. John Lester had 5 innings of no-hit ball and was pulled after 76 pitches. Alec Mills yesterday had strong 6 innings, which is awesome to see. Kyle Hendricks also won Player of the Week honors, along with Nelson Cruz. And, you know, this team is rolling. This is, like, the perfect start. They're currently 4-1, sitting atop the division, tied for the best record in baseball. Obviously, it's just been a week, but with the 60-game season, and after today, 10% of the season's already played, it's really important to get that tempo going, get that rhythm going. and guys like Alec Mills who can fight for that three spot in the rotation. Hey, Tyler Chatwood against the Brewers had one earned run over six innings and only three hits. The starting pitching has really, really come alive. The biggest issue is this bullpen. On Monday, John Lester, like I said, had five innings of no-hit ball. And after he left, the rest of the four innings, the bullpen gave up seven runs. Craig Kimbrell was terrible. Terrible. Kimbrell might be the worst free agent signing that Theo has had in his tenure. The only good kind of thing to see out of that is that after the bases were loaded with one out and the Reds had come back within a run, Jeremy Jeffress came in and he shut the door down. So I think we might have found our closer, at least for the foreseeable future. Casey Sadler yesterday again in the win against the Reds was doing pretty good. He had a three strikeout inning in which he got four outs eventually because one of the strikeouts was a wild pitch that the runner advanced to first. And Ryan Tepera, who I called him out for the home run that he gave up to Galvis, but he looked pretty, pretty good. He's throwing a cutter in the upper 80s. He's got this wicked slider in like the low 80s that look very similar to each other, but they give each batter different fits. And he's been pretty good. He was pretty good yesterday. And it's exciting to see. I mean, this bullpen really, like, we have some no names in the bullpen that got hit hard against the Reds. And also, you could see in Saturday's game, after Yu Darvish was okay, out of the five starters we've had so far, he's probably been the weakest, but he wasn't that bad. He gave up three runs, but the bullpen came in and allowed five more. So this is going to be kind of back to square one with this bullpen. We don't have an established closer. We don't have our setup guys anymore. You saw Pedro Strop in a Reds uniform yesterday. And what can we do to kind of weather the storm when it comes to late inning pitching? Hopefully guys can step up. You know, David Ross is still kind of getting a feel for his bullpen. But the offense, hope to God that the offense stays on fire. Kyle Schwarber has been hitting the ball well. Anthony Rizzo has three home runs. And Javi Baez yesterday really showed that his swing is coming to life as well. And if Javi, Willie, Anthony Rizzo, maybe even Chris Bryant, who's probably been the only Cub that hasn't really gotten groove, if our core can come together, we have the best shot. Right now, I think we're one of the scariest teams in the league. And although it's a weekend, no one probably wants to face us because as the weeks keep going, you're only losing more opportunities to get back into the fold with this 60-game season. So we'll see how they do against the Reds tonight. The Cubs are looking good, and it's great to see. Great to see. The next week, looking ahead, we have a three-game series against the Pirates at home. Then a couple games back-to-back with the KC Royals in Wrigley, and then two in KC, the newly owned by Patrick Mahomes KC Royals. So these aren't teams that are great. These are the kind of like lower end teams in the spectrum. And these are the teams that we kind of have to jump on and get ahead with. You know, good teams beat bad teams. And that's the case here. So let's see if the Cubs can get it done. 4-1 to start the season. Not bad. But let's hope that that mojo and them good vibes keep rolling. Elsewhere around the league, the Tampa Bay Rays, who a lot of people picked as a dark horse team, one of those lower market teams to kind of excel in a shorter season, they started out the season strong at 4-1. I talked about the COVID situation at the beginning of the show. A lot of that going on. So the Yankees and the Phillies aren't allowed to play till the end of the week. And then the Marlins are going to restart maybe next week. So a lot of their games have been canceled. I think that'll affect the kind of finality of the year. Obviously, the Marlins aren't expected to make much noise. But the Phillies definitely are. The Yankees definitely are. The Yankees are touted as probably the best team in the league right now. And interestingly enough, Joe Kelly of the Dodgers got into an altercation yesterday after throwing behind Alex Bregman on a 3-0 pitch and then also throwing inside to Carlos Correa, or striking out Carlos Correa and then talking trash to him. He's been suspended 8 games for that altercation. And it's just shocking to me. And this is based on a report that the suspension really was due to the fact that he has a history of intentionally throwing at people. I think that's such a load of BS because of the fact that these Astros have cheated, have been proven cheaters, have not apologized, have not shown remorse for their actions, and also have not really been punished. And that's crazy to me. They got rid of their manager. They got rid of their GM. Carlos Beltran wasn't allowed a job because of it as the Mets manager. And it's shocking to me that the league stepped in to punish Joe Kelly, of all people, for throwing inside versus punishing the Astros for actually cheating and winning a World Series. Like, how does that go unpunished? How? I don't understand how the Astros actually let that happen. How the league actually let that happen. Not even the Astros. I mean, it's like a moral dilemma for them for sure. Not the best of ethics on that organization, but the league really needed to step in and do something, and Manfred really has botched this thing from the beginning. Whether it comes down to the Astros cheating scandal or even like the restart, you know, he sounded like a commissioner that wasn't even trying to get this league started. I mean, he did it, but that's big on him to suspend Joe Kelly 8 games of a 60-game season that is equivalent to 22 games in a 162-game season. I mean, that's ridiculous. That should get appealed and reduced significantly. And that is what has happened over the league this first week. So it's been an interesting week. And baseball's back, and it feels great. It does feel great. So we'll keep you guys tuned in. Hopefully the Cubs keep doing well. And, you know, maybe we'll have some White Sox talk eventually as well. To end this week's episode of 23 is the Mic, I am welcomed by my brother Rashid. So me and Rashid just came back from a 14-hour drive from New York, and due to that fact, I thought it would be, you know, kind of interesting to do a little top 5 snacks, like a snack tier kind of thing. And our answers are actually pretty different, so let's just start at number 5. Rashid, what was your number 5?
So my number 5 was barbecue Pringles. And the reason I have those is because, I feel like it's my favorite out of the whole Pringles. And I feel like Pringles itself is just, like, one of the most underrated snacks. So, yeah.
Why is it underrated?
I mean, you just don't see, like, a lot of people eating Pringles or, like, talking about it when, like, conversation of snack comes up. So, or, like, we didn't even have Pringles on our road trip.
You know? I feel like Pringles are really good, especially because you never get as much as you want in the one, like, cylinder can. Mm-hmm. After you, it's really easy to eat. Like, you can have, like, 5-6 Pringles at once, and then you can just keep wanting more after. So, I get you there. For me, my number 5 is gotta be Oreos.
Oreos, okay.
Yeah, Oreos at number 5. I think Oreos are great with milk, without milk. You can eat it at all times. And for me, like, when I think of snacks, I don't really think of cookies at first. So that's why it's a little lower in this ranking than normal. So at number 4, what's your number 4?
Chocolate chip cookies.
What kind?
So there's like this specific brand.
So many varieties of chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, so there's like this specific brand of Jewel, where it's in like a purple package.
The Jewel cookies,
that
is also my number 4.
Okay.
Those are just so good because they're soft, but then also like the chocolate chips in them, they're just so good because the chocolate chips in them are hard and they're like cool, and it's kind of like a warm cookie, but that chocolate chip inside of it gives you like that cool feeling.
But
I've never messed with like the peanut butter ones.
Just
the purple bag, not the red
for
ones.
For sure.
At number 3, I have honey barbecue Fritos, like those little twist things. Those are really good.
Those are good, I agree. I had Oreos. Specifically,
Oreos.
Like, mint Oreos.
Okay.
I think I definitely like the mint Oreos better than the originals.
Really?
Yeah, but I just don't like... Like, if I'm in the store, I just... When I see them, they don't... I don't get them as much. But whenever, like, I'm looking for cookies, I get those, yeah.
Yeah. At number 2, I have Hot Cheetos. This might be controversial for this being so low, or for this being number 2 and not number 1. But, I mean, you can't go wrong with a bag of Hot Cheetos.
That's true.
Every single time you get snacks, that's, like, the first thing you think of, Hot Cheetos.
Uh-huh.
That's, like, a go-to.
Right.
We had them on the road trip. I have them, like, every single week. Whenever I go to a grocery store, Hot Cheetos is just in the cart, always.
Yeah.
What's your number two?
I said spicy nacho Doritos. And the reason I say that is because...
It's like a football party feel.
Yeah. Yeah, so just Doritos itself is an amazing like bag of chips. And spicy nacho, it's like you get that, like you get the nacho, you get the cheese, and it's spicy, but it's not like too spicy where like hot Cheetos, for example, if you eat like a lot, you'll want water, or you know, you kind of have to take a break, at least yeah. for me. Where this, it's like you still get that spice and
it's like tanginess.
Yeah. And it's not like so much as where you need to like take water breaks.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I can just have a good bag and like keep on going, honestly.
Yeah, what's your number one?
So I say, I said Flamin' Hot Munchies. Because this has...
That's like a cheat.
I mean, yeah, but...
Because you got the hot Cheetos in there, you got the Doritos, you got the pretzels.
You got Sun Chips also.
Got Sun Chips, that brings it home.
Yeah, like... Anytime I go to Jewel or any other store, I'm always looking for those, and I will always get those. That's literally, like, the thing I love the most, because it has all those, and all those, like, different chips are probably... If Munchies wasn't a thing, those would probably be, like, my top. I'd probably have one of those in it. So, yeah, what about you?
For me, it's gotta be those Cheeto Hot Fries. Those okay, are my yeah. favorite go-to. Ever since, like, I was, I think, 11, we would walk to 7-Eleven from Potter and get Slurpees and the hot fries. And hot fries in general are so good. Like, the Andy Caps ones and the hot fries.
Yeah.
That I have a bag. I have a bag here, or a box here, and there are 72 hot fries from Andy Caps in this box. Okay. This one. And that was at my apartment. We just picked it up and brought it back, and we had the hot fries from Chester's on the way here. And yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with hot fries. They're so good, and they're so spicy, and they're still so good even after they're spicy.
Yeah. The thing is, like, there's so many, like, good hot chips out there that it's, like, sort of hard to, like, kind of name. I mean, like, at least for me, that's kind of why I did Munchies. It's sort of hard to, like, just pick between every single one of them.
Yeah.
And, like, Munchies has 4-in-1, so.
Yeah, and, like, I can't do, like, too spicy of chips, like the Flamin' Hots.
Yeah, yeah, like,
or, like, the Flamin' Hot Fritos. I mean, Doritos I couldn't do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then I can't do Takis. I'm not a fan of Takis because it has, like, that sourness with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not, I can do, like, 3 and then start.
Right, yeah. Anymore. I can't do a whole bag.
Yeah, even, definitely like, can't do a whole bag.
For sure.
That's our top 5 for snacks. If you guys agree with us, I think the most controversial thing is Rashid didn't have hot Cheetos even in his top 5.
Hot Cheetos are in Munchies. Even though he had it
in Munchies. But that's, I mean, that's a cop-out. Like, having hot Cheetos alone is a vibe. We want to thank Rashid for joining us on today's episode. Thank you to everyone for listening. Hope you and your loved ones are all doing well and keeping safe and healthy. On next week's show, we'll have some basketball to talk about. We'll have week 2 of Cubs. As always, you can follow the show at 23zamike on Instagram and Twitter. Follow me personally at Nadeemn22 on Instagram and at TheDreamN22 on Twitter. Do you want to give your handles?
Yeah, Instagram, Rashid Niz.
There you go. See you guys next week. Thank you so much for listening. Stay safe out there. Love you guys.